Today's daf is Shabbos daf Gimel, and we are three lines from the bottom of daf Beis, Amid Beis, the two dots. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza. So the first Mishnah of Masechtes Shabbos discusses the 39th of the Lamed Tes Melachos, the Melacha of Hoitza'ah. The Melacha of Hoitza'ah, just to recap, Midda Eraisa means one of two things. It means that you're not allowed to carry from one rishos to another rishos. A rishos being defined, again, all on the d'oraisa level, as either a rishos hayachid or a rishos harabim. So hitzol would mean you're not allowed to carry from a rishos hayachid to a rishos harabim, or from a rishos harabim to a rishos hayachid. Another example of hitzol d'oraisa is one is not allowed to carry dalet amos in a rishos harabim itself. The definition of Hoitzah is doing an Akira in one Rishos and doing a Hanacha in the other Rishos. So if somebody would lift an object in a Rishos HaYachid and then put it down in a Rishos HaRabim, when you lifted the object, you did an Akira. When you put it down, you did it a Hanacha. So if the Akira was in one Rishos, the Hanacha was in the other Rishos, it doesn't matter if you went from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim or from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. Either way, you would be over the Issa d'Oraisa of Hoitza. Additionally, we saw that as it relates to the Isra of Hoitza, it makes no difference whether you're taking it outside, Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, or you're bringing it inside. You're bringing it from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. The only difference is that when you bring it outside, you're over the Av Malacha of Hoitza. When you bring it inside, you're only over the Tolda of the Malacha. But again, as we mentioned, there really is no halachic difference between the Av and the Tolda. The whole concept of Avos and Toldas only is manifest when you deal with the halachas of Chatas, which is very much not the sugya that we're dealing with right now. So again, Hoitza is carried from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, or from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. The technical definition of Hoitza is you do an Akira in one Rishos, you do a Hanacha in the other Rishos. It doesn't matter if, again, you took it from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. From a semantics standpoint, there is a little bit of a difference, because when you take it from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, it's Yitziyah, it's Aitzah, it's the Av Malacha. When you go from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid, it's the Toldo. That's merely Hachnasa. The Mishnah began and said, Yitziyah HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, V'Shtayim Shein Arba Bechutz. In other words, the Mishnah said that there are two ways that one can be over the melacha of Hoitza mida iraisa if you're standing inside. There's another two ways it could be over the melacha of Hoitza midrabanon if you're standing inside. The same is true if you're standing outside. So Yitzias HaShabbos Taim Shein Arba Bifnim means if you're standing inside, there's two ways it could be over the melacha mida iraisa. Shein Arba, if you add the other two ways that you can be over it midrabanan, and together you're going to end up with four. The same is true if you're standing outside. Now, when are you over midrais and when are you over midrabanan? So the Mishnah went and gave a whole bunch of complicated cases, but really the short version of it is, if you did the Akira and the Hanacha by yourself, then you're over midrais. If you did either the Akira or the Hanacha, then you're only going to be over the Issa d'Rabban. Now, the Gemara starts off with a very basic question. If you add up the cases of Meleches Hoitza'ah of the Mishnah, L'chura, what you should end up with is eight examples of Melacha. Shtayim Shein Arba plus Shtayim Shein Arba gives you Arba Shehem Shmoina, meaning in total there should be eight examples of Meleches Hoitza'ah, four of which are D'Oraisa, the other four of which are D'Rabbanan. The Gemara starts with the question, we'll speak it out outside first, that when you go through the cases of the Mishnah in fact mentioned four cases of Meleches Hoitza'ah Midaraisa. But L'chura, the Mishnah seemed to have given us eight examples of Meleches Hoitza'ah Midrabanan, because the Mishnah said four examples of which where one person did the Akira and the other person did the Hanacha. Now, if you have four examples of where one did the Akira and one did the Hanacha, and the one that does the Akira is over the Melacha Midrabanan, and the one that does the Hanacha is over the Melacha Midrabanan, so how many examples of Melacha Midrabanan do you have in the Mishnah? Eight. If that's the case, L'chura, it's not Arba Shehem Shmoina, it's Arba Shehem Shtei Mesrei. Or in other words, you don't have four examples of Meleches Hoitza'ah Midrabanan in the Mishnah. You have eight examples of Meleches Hoitza'ah Midrabanan. So it's for that reason the Gemara begins, Amalei Rav Masna Lehabaya. Rav Masna Estabaya. Who is Rav Masna? Rav Masna was Rabbi Yochanan's 11th son. Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons, and he had an 11th son, Rav Masna. He sent him to go learn Torah in Bavel. So Rav Masna asked Abaye, "Ha tamni havyan? Taratisri havyan? Why in the Mishnah are there only 8 examples of Melechas Eitzah? Again, 2 which are 4, plus 2 which are 4. Back of the envelope arithmetic gives you 4 which are 8. L'chayr, it's not 8. It should be 12. Because there were 4 examples of Dairaisa, and there were 8 examples of Midrabanan." So the Gemara says, Abaye told Rav Masna, "Ulitameich, according to you, meaning, if you want to go down this road, shitzeri havyan, why are you only asking that it should be 12? L'chura, it should have been 16. Why should it have been 16? Where's the other 4? So Abaye told Rav Masna, because if you want to get really technical, why don't you say that even in the 4 cases of the Mishnah, where one person did the Akira and the Anacha, he was over the Malacha Medei Raisa, why don't you say that the other party, even though he didn't do an Akira and he didn't do a Hanacha, but say that he's complicit enough that at the very least he should be over the Malachim and the Rabbanon. So for example, if the Balabayas is the one that lifted an object in a Rishus HaYochid and he took it out and he put it into the hand of the Ani who was standing in the Rishus HaRabbin, the Balabayas was for sure over the Malachim and the Rai. So he did the Akir in the Rishus HaYochid, he did the Anach in the Rishus HaRabbin. But the Gemara is arguing that him putting it into the hand of the Ani who's standing outside, from the Ani standpoint, he should be over the Malachim and the Rabbanon. So if you want that the one that did either the Akira or the Hanacha should each be considered in the minion of the Malachas of the Mishnah, so it shouldn't be 8 in total, it should be 12 in total, I think it should be 16. Because why don't we have those 4 that were complicit on some level, even in the Malacha Midei Raisa? So Amalei, Rav Masna told Abaye, I don't understand what kind of question that is. Olei Kasha. Because Bishlam above the Reisha, in the Reisha, where one person did the Akira and the Hanacha, the other person's an innocent bystander. So Pater Umuter, that person's not doing anything wrong. He's not even being over a Malacha Midei Rabbanan. What did he do? He didn't do the Akira, didn't do the Hanacha. Why should anything be an issue? So like Katani, so therefore he wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. El above the Sefer, the Pater Avalasa Kasha. But in the Sefer, we had 4 examples where one person did the Akira, one person did the Anacha. In other words, in each one of the 4 examples, there are 2 people, l'chayra, that are doing either Akira or Anacha, to be even the Malacha Midrabanan. So you have 8 examples of the Rabbanan, plus the 4 Dairaisa, you should have 12. But the Gemara says, that can't be. Because the Mishnah says that as it relates to the 4 cases of where one person, the Akira, the Asa, and the Anach, meaning he was over the Malachim of the Raisa. So he's Chayiv, and the other person was Pater. So again, using our example, where the Balabayas did an Akira and Rishos HaYochid, he did an Anach and Rishos HaRab, and the Balabayas is over the Malachim of the Raisa. The Ani, who just was the innocent bystander, he just received what the Balabayas put in his hand, is Pater. Pater, the Gemara is saying, in that case means Mutter. But the Gemara says it can't be. Because we know this is an important rule for Masechta Shabbos, just an important rule to take out of a slightly confusing Gemara, and that is that wherever it says in Masechta Shabbos that something is potter, it means potter aval osser, says the Gemara. Because mi ikab the kula Shabbos, potter or mutter, do you find anywhere in Masechta Shabbos where the Tano will say something is potter, or if you do something, you're potter, and it means it's mutter l'katchila? We know that's not the case. Because Vamra Shmuel said, kol p'turei de Shabbos, potter aval osser. Anytime it says potter in Maseches Shabbos, it means it's potter aval osser. Bar mihani klas. There are 3 exceptions, the potter and mutter. There are 3 times in the entire Masechta where it says that something is potter, and it means it's even mutter l'katchila. What are the 3 examples? Number 1, Tzidas Tzvi. So the case of Tzidas Tzvi is where there was someone who was sitting at an entranceway and it was blocking a deer from being able to go out. So there's a deer trapped in a room and you're standing at the entrance of the room instead of just closing the door. Maybe there is no door. So you were standing there and you were blocking off the entrance like this, the deer wasn't able to come out. Somebody else now went behind this person. So Reuven's blocking the door. Shimon went behind Reuven. Shimon didn't do anything wrong because Shimon's not even blocking the deer, meaning he's not trapping, he's not being over the Malacha of Tzad. Reuven's the one that's being over the Malacha of Tzad. What happens if Reuven now goes away? Does Shimon have to leave? So the halacha is, if Shimon stays, he's potter. Shmuel said, not only is Shimon potter if he stays, but it's potter and mutter. He's allowed to stay there, the katchila. That's one example, where potter means potter and mutter. Another example is tzedas nachash. If somebody catches a snake, simply because he's afraid that the snake is poisonous and he may harm him, so even though it's tzad, you would think it's not okay. Potter, not only potter, umutter. And finally, mapis porsa. If somebody pops a pimple or a boil on Shabbos, that's another example where potter mutter. But the point is, other than those 3 examples, every time it says potter, potter means avalaser. So what's the kasha? If the Mishnah said that Yitzias HaShabbos and gave examples of where one did the Akira and did the Hanacha, he's Chayiv and the other one is Potter. What does it mean that the other one is Potter? That means the Ani, again using our example, even though all he did was receive the Akira and the Hanacha of the Balabayas, but if the Mishnah says it's Potter, it means he's over in the Malachim Derabbanan. If he's over in the Malachim Derabbanan, then why is he not counted in the Cheshvin of how many Malachas of Eitzah that you have in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says no. Really, when the Mishnah says that the Ani is Potter for receiving what the Balabayas put in his hand, it means Potter Umutter. Ay Shmuel said there's only three examples in the entire Masechta of Potter Umutter. This wasn't one of his three examples. This is not Seidas Tzvi. It's not Seidas Nachash. And it's not Mapes Mursa. You have to say Kitzrichle, L'Shmuel Pturi Deka Oven Maisa. When Shmuel said three, he was referring to three times where a person did a Maisa. And the Mishnah says Potter. Their Potter means Avalasa, with the exception of these three cases. But Pturi Deleika Oven Maisa Ikatuva. But if a person didn't do anything and the Mishnah says you're Potter, there could mean not only are you Potter, but rather you're going to be Potter or Mutter, regardless. When the Mishnah said that if one person did the Akira and the Hanacha, the other person is Potter, it means Potter or Mutter. And that's why he's not counted in the minion of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah counted up all the Malachas Deiraisa, the Malachas under Rabbanan, it came up with Shtayim Shein Arba and Shtayim Shein Arba. If you add it together, it's Arba Shem Shmoina. We had a max of four Deiraisa and another four Midrabbanan, a total of eight. Why is the other person that's party to where one was over the Malacha Deiraisa not counted? Because he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything with Deiraisa. He didn't do anything with the Rabbanan. Either it says Potter, doesn't Potter always mean Potter Avaras? Yeah, Potter means Avaras when you do a Maisa. But if he didn't do a Maisa. So it's for that reason he's not counted. But the Gemara says, when we come Makam Tartis Rehavian, Lechura. Rav Masa's question is still a good question. Because even though it's true in the cases where one was over the Malacha Deiraisa, the other one didn't do a Maisa. But in the cases where one person did the Akira and the other person did the Hanacha, both the person that did the Akira and the person did the Hanacha, each did a Maisa. Each one did a Maisa. And there were four examples of where one person did the Akira and the other person did the Hanacha, which means four times two is eight. So there's eight examples of the Rabbanan. If there's four examples of the Raisa and there's eight examples of the Rabbanan, then there should be 12 examples of Malacha. Yet the Mishnah only discusses eight. Says the Gemara, you have to say a Chiddush. Pturi the asib buhuli dechi of chatas kachashiv, the loy asib buhuli dechi of chatas loy kachashiv. When the Mishnah counts the four melachos derabbanan, it's discussing only the one that did the akira. But the one that did the hanacha, he's not counted, even though he did a melacha midrabbanan. But he's not counted. So when the Mishnah says shtayim shein arba plus shtayim shein arba, which means arba shein shmoina, why is it eight? Why is it not 12? Because we're not counting the one that did the hanacha. We're only counting the one that did the akira. What's the difference? The one that did the akira is over the melacha of eitzah midrabbanan. The one that did the hanacha is over the melacha of eitzah midrabbanan. The difference is the one that did the akira could technically come now to be over the melacha midrabbanan if he would finish the job, and he would now do the Hanacha. The one that didn't do the Akira only did the Hanacha, his Maisa Hanacha is considered more kuladik. It's a little more lenient, it's a little more light, because there's no way for him to now come with the Issa Deiraisa. So again, it's a semantic, because really, at the end of the day, they're both over the Issa Derabbanan, so who cares? I hear, but that's what the Gemara says. That clearly, when the Mishnah counted the Shtayim Shein Arba, the Shtayim Shein Arba, we're counting on the Deiraisa level, the one that did the Akira and the Hanacha, and on the Rabbanah level, we're only counting the one that did the Akira. So you had four examples, and each example, one person did the Akira, the other person did the Hanacha. We're only counting the Ze Oiker, we're only counting the Ze Oiker, so you only have four examples of the Rabbanan. You have four Deiraisa, you have four the Rabbanan. You have Arba Shem Shmoyna, which is exactly what the Mishnah said. Shtayim Shein Arba, Vishtayim Shein Arba, says the Gemara Vaita, Shneim Pturim. Great, the Gemara, in the case where one person did the Akira and the other person did the Anach. So what was the Halacha? They're both Potter, meaning no one's over the Malacha Vaitza Midei. So they're each over the Malacha Midei Rabban. Great, the Gemara, Vaisavid the Malacha Midei. Why don't you say that even though no individual person did the entire Malacha, but between the two of them, they were over the Malacha? One person did the Akira, the other person did the Anach. So why don't we say that Beshutfis, they were over the Malacha? So what does that mean? Beshutfis, they were over the Malacha. So what? Beshutfis, they should get Skila? Beshutfis, they should be Chayiv Karis? So there's a big machloikis how to understand this Gemara. We're going to go with the Pnei Yeshua's Pshat. Simple Pshat. The Pnei Yeshua says the Gemara's Kasha is in the case where they did the Hoitzah B'Shoikik. They were each a Shoikik. Ze Oiker B'Shoikik. Ve'ze Hiniach B'Shoikik. In that case, why don't we say that together they should have a Chiyuv to bring a Karban Chatos, and they should bring the Chiyuv Chatos B'Shutfis. Let them chip in for the Karban Chatos. A Chatos costs $100. He was oiker, he gives $50. He was hiniach, he gives $50. And together they're going to bring the karban chatas. Why is it so poshut that if two people do a malacha b'shutfis, that the halacha is that they're both potter? At the contrary, maybe the partner's in crime, literally. And as a result, they now have to together deal with it. Now, if it's a chi of misa, it doesn't make sense. But in the case where it's possible, it's physically possible to tell them, b'shutfis, go ahead, oh, bring a chatas. You can bring a chatas b'shutfis. A mincha, you can't bring b'shutfis. But a chatas, you can bring b'shutfis. So let them make the carbon together. That's the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara answers another very important yisoy in Masechta Shabbos, and that is Tanya Rebbe Yoimer. It says in the pasuk regarding the carbon chatas, me'am ha'oretz pe'asoyso. And we learn from here two halachas. Number one, oisah eskudah oisah esmiktsaso. The only time you bring a carbon chatas is if you do a complete malacha, but if you do part of a malacha, you don't bring a chatas. Additionally, yachid vaso oisah chayiv. If one person does the malacha, he's going to be chayiv. Ba'asoyso zolosh and yachid. Shnayim vaso oisah. But if two people do it together, pturim, they're going to be potter. So you're right. In theory, in svarim, maybe you can argue that let the two people b'shutfas bring a carbon chatas. But this is not a milsa de tal yubisvara. You have a pasuk, you have a drasha. The drasha says that shnayim sha'asu, if two people do a malacha together, the halacha is they don't bring a carbon chatz. It benami amra b'chiyah bargam de nizrukum ipi chabura v'amru basoysa yachid sha'asa chayiv shnayim sha'asa hua peturim. If one person does it, he's chayiv. If two people do it together, we're going to be potter. Again, this is an important principle in Hilcha Shabbos, and it's the principle of shnayim sha'asu. It's discussed later in the Masechta, but for now, you see the concept for the first time, that if two people do a malacha together, you don't say that b'shutfis, their partners, let them both be chayiv. That's not the way this works. There is a concept of doing an aver b'shutfis, for example, edim zoymimim, right? If two people would say edus together and they would testify falsely, so an edecha that testifies is nothing. Two together, so b'shutfis, as partners, we would just over something that now begets the punishment of kasha zomam, loisana b'reyacha ed shaker. But when it comes to hilcha Shabbos, for sure, there's a halacha of shnayim sha'asu. If two people do the malacha together, it's as if the malacha wasn't done at all. So one person did the akira, the other person did the hanacha, together they did it, but together doesn't bother me. Says the Gemara, b'yimine Rav may Rebbe. So Rav was a Talmud of Rebbe, and Rav asked Rebbe the following question. So again, in order to be over the Malacha Vaitzamid Eraisa, you have to do two things. You have to do an Akira and you have to do an Hanacha. You have to do an Akira in one Rishos and you have to do the Hanacha in the other Rishos. So Rav asked Rebbe the following question. What would be if Reuven goes over to Shimon and he takes Oichlunu Mashkin and he puts it on Shimon, he puts it on his shoulder, he gives it to him, he puts it into his hand. In other words, Shimon, the one who now is holding the Oichlunu Mashkin, never did an Akira. Someone else came and placed it in his hand. He was in a Rishus HaYachid, and now he walked into a Rishus HaRabim, and he walked outside. What's the question? Is he over Hoitzamid Eraisa, or is he not over Hoitzamid Eraisa? So at first glance, you're going to tell me, of course he's not over Hoitzamid Eraisa. Because in order to do Hoitzah, you have to do an Akira in one Rishus, you have to do Anach in the other Rishus. He never did an Akira, he never picked up the Oichlanu Mashkin. Somebody took the Oichlanu Mashkin and put it into his hand, stating that Rav had a Shiloh. His Shiloh was Akiras Gufay, Akiras Chefetz Mimkoy Meidami Umechayev. Do you say that even though this person never picked up the chefetz, but maybe when he moves his guf, he picks up his body, which is holding the chefetz, maybe that's called an akira. Akira's gufa is ka akira's chefetz. Or maybe not. Amalese, he told him, chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. So Rebbe told Rav, there's no question. The halacha is akira's gufa is ka akira's chefetz dami, so that even though this person never lifted the object off the ground, somebody placed it into his hand. But once he's holding it, if he picks himself off the ground and he walks outside, that's considered an akira in the laws of akira and anacha, and he's going to be chayv. But he added, did Rebbe, one important caveat, and that is ve'enoy doima liyadoi, that it's not comparable to yadoi, meaning lifting your body is not like lifting your hand. Why did Rebbe have to say this? Because in the Mishnah, it's mavur that simply lifting your hand from one rishos to another rishos is not considered akira. Where do you see that? Because the Mishnah discussed if an ani was standing outside and he stuck his hand inside to a rishos ayachid, and the Baal Bayis went and he took a chefetz and he put it into the hand of the ani. The ani now took his hand outside. So that was one of the examples of the Mishnah of ze oiker v'ze meniach, where no one did the akira and the hanacha.
The Balabayas did the Akira. He put the object into the hand of the Ani. The Ani did the Hanocha, because he now took it out and put it down on the ground. As a result, no one's going to be over the Melacha Veitzame De Raisa. Rebbe says, why not? Why don't you say that when the Ani took his hand from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, that in and of itself should constitute an Akira? What's the Akira? He was Oiker his Yad. Meaning, if Akira's Gufo is considered Akira, that's what Rebbe told Rav, then why is Akira's Yadin not considered Akira? So that Rebbe had to explain, he had to clarify. He said, why not? So he said, because over there, Gufo is Nayach. Yadin lo Nayach. A person's Guf, his body, is considered to be Nayach. So if you're standing, you're firmly planted where it is you are, so you're considered to be in a state of Anocha. You now pick up your foot, you walk. So you're being oiker, your state of hanocha. That's an akira. Your yad is not considered to be nayach. It's not considered to be settled. It's not firmly planted wherever it is. It just moves around. And being that it's not in a state of nayach, when you move your hand, it's not considered an akira. Amalei Reb Chiya Rav. So Reb Chiya heard that Rav asked this question to Rebbe. He heard what Rebbe answered. So Reb Chiya told Rav the following thing. He said, Bar Pachsi, Rashi says, Ben Gedoylem. Didn't I tell you already? Kikoi Rebbe b'ham mesachta loy teshayla b'mesachta achriti. They never asked Rebbe a question in a mesachta that he's not learning. So if Rebbe's only above a kam, don't talk to him about your vomits. So he said, Rebbe, you're supposed to, don't ask him enough. Why? Because maybe he's not going to know the answer. And the Ilav the Rebbe Gavarabba, who in fact, if Rebbe wasn't such a Gavarabba Kisafte, you could have very easily embarrassed him. Apparently, Rebbe wasn't learning Masechta Shabbos when Rav asked him this question. So Rebbe was disappointed at Rav. He said, why are you asking this question? Apparently, they had this conversation before. He said, I've told you in the past, never ask Rebbe a Shiloh on something that he's not learning. Rebbe was worried that Rebbe maybe wouldn't know the answer. Rebbe, incidentally, was also a Talmud of Rebbe. So Rebbe is looking out for his Rebbe. And he told Rav, he's a two Talmudim of Rebbe. He says, I've told you already in the past, you shouldn't have asked him this question, stating that Hashtamir Shapir Mishani Loch. However, Rabbi Chiya told Rav that even though you did the wrong thing by asking him this question, just so happens Rebbe got the answer right. The Tanya, because it's a Mefurish Abrais. Oh, you're talking Eichlon Mashkin by Yoim. If somebody was carrying Eichlon Mashkin by Yoim, meaning he was holding Eichlon Mashkin in his hand from Erev Shabbos, Vaitzin Luchos Meshachas Eichlon, and then once it got Shabbos, he took it outside. Chayev, the Loch is his Chayev. Vafisha Inu Daim Liyodai. It's not comparable to Yodai, meaning, even though this person was holding the Eichlon Mashkin Mibayid Yoim, which means he never did an Akira Be'isser. He never did an Akira Be'isser because he did the Akira Erev Shabbos. He didn't do the Akira in Shabbos. If he now walks outside, he's going to be Oivroid Samaday Raisa. I wiz the Akira. The Teretz is Akira Skufoy. And the Braisa says clearly, what do you mean? You see, Akira Ziyoda is not considered an Akira, so why should Akira Skufoy be considered an Akira? Says the Braisa, Fisha Einu Daimel Yoda. It's different. In my time of the Sfar is probably like Rebbe said, because Skufoy Nayach, Yoda Loy Nayach. The point is, you see in this Braisa that Akira's Gufoy is Ka'akira's Chefetz Dami, which is exactly what Rebbe told Rav. So Rebbe Chiya told Rav that even though you shouldn't have asked Rebbe this question, at the end of the day, you got it right. Now, just to be clear, the case that Rav was discussing and the case of the Braisa are not the identical case. Rav's case was where on Shabbos, you're standing in a Rishus HaYachid, somebody goes and he takes Eichlon Mashkin and he puts it into your hand. And then you carry it to a Rishus HaRabim. You did the Hoitzah, technically, but you didn't meet the technical criteria of Hoitzah. Because the technical criteria of Hoitzah is you have to do an Akira in one Rishus, you have to do the Anach in the other Rishus. The reason you didn't do the Akira is you never lifted it up. It was put on in your hand on Shabbos Kodesh, but you yourself never lifted it. It was put in your hand. So being that you never did the Akira, that was the Shiloh. Would you be Chayev? And Rebbe was Mechadish, Akira's Gufoy is Ka Akira's Chayfetz Dami. The case of the Braiso was a similar case in terms of the principle, but it wasn't the same Metzias. The case was when you did the Akira, you just did the Akira Erev Shabbos. The point is, you never did an Akira Be'eser. Still, if you moved your body on Shabbos, Akira's Gufa is Ka'akira's Chefetz Nami, you're going to be Chayv. So Hatzad HaShava Shebohen is that you never did an Akira Be'isr. In Rav's case, in the Boyimine Rav Mei Rebbe, you didn't do an Akira at all. In the Braisa's case, you did do an Akira, you just did the Akira Meba'od Yoy. As it relates to the halacha is the same, that even if you don't do an Akira on the Chefetz, if you do an Akira on your Guf, the halacha is, you're going to be chayef. Another gemara. This is all me'inyan le'inyan ba'oisa inyan. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, chitali, it's pasha to me. He says, I have no question that yodai shal adam eino loy kirishus harabim v'loy kirishus hayochid. So what does this mean? if a person is standing in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and he now stretches his hand out into a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, so you could easily argue that his hand is nimshach based on where his guf is. And if his guf is in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even though his hand is stretched into a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we should look at his hand as if it has the din of being in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Right, it makes sense. You would think the hand is tuffled to the rest of the body. So if your body is in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, your hand is stretched into a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, let's look at your hand as if it's in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The same you would think is in the reverse. If you're standing in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you stretch your hand into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So you would think, even though your hand is in the ear space of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but if you're physically standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we should, again, take your hand and assume that it goes together with the rest of your body. Makes sense. And if you're standing in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, your hand should also be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So Abaye said that as much as you can argue in common sense that that's the way it should be perceived, pshitali, it's posher to me, it's not even open for discussion that that's not the way it is. That yodai shaladam eina loiker Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in the event that you're standing in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, your hand is stretched out into a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. We don't look at your hand as if it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Additionally, like Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we don't look at Rosh Hashanah Yochid either. Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, like damn you, how do I know? How is it so posh to me that if your hand is, if you're in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, your hand is stressed into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we don't look at it as if it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Me yaday da'ani. I know that from the hand of the Ani. In the case where the Balabayas took something from the hand of the Ani, the halacha was potter. What was the case? The case was where the Ani had an object, and he stretched his hand into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Ani is the one standing in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. He stretches his hand into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and the Balabayas takes something out of the hand of the Ani. So what was the halacha? The halacha was that the Ani is potter and the Balabayas is potter. The Ani is potter, he only did the Akira. The Balabayas is potter, he only did the Hanacha. What's the question? Or what's Abayas trying to say? Says Abaye, if you're going to tell me that the hand of the Ani is viewed as always being in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, why? Because the Ani is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So you can argue that when the Baal HaBayis took the object out of the hand of the Ani, even though the hand was stretched into the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, but let's assume that it's Nimshach, it's part of the Ani who's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's as if I took something out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I took it out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I put it down on the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So I should be chayiv. So said Abaye, from the fact that the Baal HaBayis is not chayiv in that case, that was one of the Mishnah's examples of Zeh Oikir v'Zeh Meniach, where they're both potter, avaloser, but it was in the Shehein Arba. It was in the example where you only oikir v'drabanan. So that's a raya, said Abaye, that the hand is not nimshach based on the Ani who's standing in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The same is true in the reverse. And I know if you're standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid and stretched into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that we don't look at the hand as if it's part of the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. How do you know that? You the Baal HaBayis from the reverse case, from the case where the Ani took it from the hand of the Baal HaBayis. It's the same difference. The point is, you see clearly from the Mishnah that if you're standing in one Rosh Hashanah and you stretch your hand into another Rosh Hashanah, we don't look at your hand as if it's in the Rosh Hashanah of where your body is. Okay, so this Abaye knew for sure. But there was a part of this that Abaye didn't know. Boy, Abaye, yodei shel adam, ma'u shetaseh kekarmelis. But Abaye wanted to know something else. Abaye's shaila was that if a person now, again, is standing in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, let's pick that case, and he stretches his hand into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So you don't look at your hand as being in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. He knows that from the Mishnah. So we don't look at your hand as if it's in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It was Pashat Abaye also that we don't look at the hand as if it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Meaning, just like Abaye said pshitali, that he had proof from the Mishnah, that we don't attach the hand to the rest of the body from a halachic standpoint and say, if I'm in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, I stretch my hand into a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we look at my hand as if it's in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It was also Pashat Abaye. The Gemara doesn't speak this out, but Rashi speaks this out, that we don't look at the hand as if it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim either. So we look at it as if it's neither in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid or it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So it's in no man's land. So from a Deraisa perspective, if something is neither in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid or in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it has zero significance. Midai writes that there's only two Rishuyas that matter. There's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid and there's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What if something's not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid or a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Then, halachically speaking, it has no significance. Again, this is very important. You would think from learning Masechet Shabbos in the beginning that all Rishuyos are divided into Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. That's a terrible mistake. It's not true. Not all Rishuyos are divided into Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaYachid has its guidelines. Rishus HaRabim Shein Emol has its guidelines. Some of the controversial Eruvin that we'll get to talk about in Yetz Hashem are all predicated on what the definition of a Rishus HaRabim is. Is this a Rishus HaRabim? Is that a Rishus HaRabim? I mean, if it was straightforward, if it's not a private residence, that by definition makes it a Rishus HaRabim, then we'd have a big problem with Eruvin, right? So the teretz is, it's not so simple. There, Rishus HaYachid has its specific criteria, what makes it a Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaRabim has its specific criteria, what makes it into a Rishus HaRabim. What if it's neither Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim? It's what's known in Halacha as a Makom Patur, meaning nobody cares about it. Now, that's only Midraisa. Midrabanan, however, there's a new Bria. There's something called a Karmelis. A Karmelis is a makoim, it's a place that the Rabbanon said that even though Midday Raisa is not a Rishus, Midday Rabbanon, we're going to view this area, this Karmelis, as a Rishus. So if you carry Dalet Amos in a Karmelis, it could be a problem. If you carry from a Rishus Hayachat to a Karmelis, it could be a problem. We'll get to the sugyas of Karmelis. But for now, a Karmelis is a place that has a din of a Rishus, albeit not Midday Raisa, only Midday Rabbanon. So this was Abaye's inquiry. This is what he wasn't sure about. This was his suffix. He wanted to know, if I'm standing in a Rishus HaRabim, and I'm holding a chefetz, and I take this chefetz, I stretch my hand out, and it's in the ear space of the Rishus HaYachid. Chalila, if you drop it, chil Shabbos. But you didn't drop it. You're holding on for dear life. You didn't drop it. The question is, that space now, where my hand is, it's not in the Rishus HaYachid where I am. He knows that from the Mishnah. It's not considered in the Rishus HaRabim either. It was Pshita. That he knew as well. So it's a Makom Patur, which means it's in a place that has no significance in Halacha. Or maybe not. Maybe the Rabbanon said that we view your hand now as if it's in a Karmelis. And if we view your hand now as if it's a Karmelis, this is a very big Chiddush, I wouldn't be able to bring my hand back into my Rishos. And that was Abaye Sofik. He thought that maybe the Rabbanon would be Geyser. Now what would be the premise? Why should the Rabbanon be Geyser? So really the premise is because what you just did is wrong. You're not allowed to take something in one Rishus and stretch it out in the other Rishus. Why? Because if I do an Akira in the Rishus HaYachid, and I stretch it out into Rishus HaRabim, and somebody else takes it from me, he does Anach, we both Evi Yisroel Rabbanon. That means simply doing an Akira in the Rishus HaYachid and stretching my hand out into Rishus HaRabim is already an Issa de Rabbanon. So being that I was over in Issa de Rabbanon, so maybe the Rabbanon were koines, they issued some sort of knas. It's hard to understand exactly how this works. The Rishonim struggle a little bit. But the point is, maybe they issued a knas. And the knas is that maybe we view my hand now as if it's in a Karmelis. So if I'm going to bring it back into the Rishos HaYochid, I'm carrying from a Karmelis to Rishos HaYochid, that's a problem. So do we look at that as if it's a Karmelis? Did the Rabbanon say that we look at it as a Karmelis? I'm not going to bring my hand back to me. So the Gemara says, Toshma, bring your raya. The Brisa says, if a person had peiros in his hand, and he stretched his hand outside into Rishos HaRabim, so he's in a Rishos HaYochid, he has Paris, he stretches his hand to Rishus HaRabim. Tony, the one Bryce says, also lachzira. You're not allowed to bring your hand back in. Tony, yiduch muter lachzira. Another Bryce said, you are allowed to bring your hand back in. Says, my lab alchemist. What's the machloik? Is the marasovic a karmelis damio? Who marasovic a karmelis damio? Doesn't it sound like the machloik is this shayla? Abaye shayla? Do you look at the stretched out hand from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim as if it's a karmelis? If it's a karmelis, by bringing your hand back in, you're carrying somehow from a karmelis to Rishus HaYochid, it'd be a problem or not? In other words, Abaye shayla seems to be two prices, Tani Chada, it's a problem, and the Tani Chada, it's not a problem. But the Gemara says, loy, it's not Muchach. And the Gemara is now going to suggest five other ways, not so hard, but five other ways how you can reconcile the apparent contradiction in this price, and this is going to take us to the end of the daf. Number one, loy, the Kuli Amik HaKarab Nilastami. Maybe everybody holds that if you're in Rishus HaYochid, you stretch your hand out into Rishus HaRabim, that your hand now gets a din of a Karmelis. Loy Kasha, Kan Lamatame Asara, Kan Lamayla Masara. So what's the way that you reconcile the apparent contradiction between these two brises? Very simple. One brise is talking about when your hand was stretched out beneath 10 tfachim. The other one is when it was above 10 tfachim. What's the difference? Another important rule. So as we go through the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, we're going to learn Yesoid this every day. And this Yesoid is that a Rishus HaRabim is only considered a Rishus HaRabim up to 10 tfachim. L'mayla me'asara tfachim, it doesn't have a din of a Rishus HaRabim anymore. Which is also interesting from a halachic standpoint, meaning anything above 10 tfachim in a Rishus HaRabim is really a makom patur, midoraisa, which is something that's important to know. when you go through the practical halacha lemaisa of malachas haitzos. If you're carrying an rishus harabim, but you're lemaila me'asara tvachim, so in that instance, it could be you're not really in a rishus harabim. If you're not really in a rishus harabim, so it could be you're not handling haitza deiraisa. But the point is, a rishus harabim is only considered up until 10 tvachim. Lemaila me'asara tvachim not. So says the Gemara, maybe the Braisa that says if you stretch your hand out from rishus harabim to rishus harabim, you're not allowed to bring it back in, because the chachamim gave a knas, and they said, we view it as a kamerlis. That's if you were below 10 tvachim. If you were below 10 tvachim, you were over an issa d'rabbanon. What was issa d'rabbanon? You picked up a chayfetz in a rishus hayachid, you stretched your hand out into a rishus harabim. Maybe the rabbanon said, oh, suka karmelis, and then look, whatever this halach is, I'm not allowed to bring my hand back in. But if it's lemaila me'asara tvachim, I never stretch my hand into a rishus harabim, because lemaila me'asara tvachim, even a rishus harabim is not a rishus harabim. So if I didn't do anything wrong, why would the rabbanon give the knas? So the Gemara says maybe everybody holds of this chiddush of abaya that once you stretch your hand out, suka karmelis. So in theory, I shouldn't be able to stretch my hand back in. The shaila is, did I stretch my hand into a rishus harabim? He said, what do you mean? Of course you did. That's the case. That's the case practically, but not necessarily halachically. Because halachically, I only stretch my hand into rishus harabim if I was lamata me'asara tvachim. Maybe you could say idvi de lamata me'asara. Both cases are talking about where it was lamata me'asara. V'lav k'karmelis damyo v'loy kasho. How do you reconcile the stira kame boidyoim kame sheikh hasheikho? One is talking about where you did this erev Shabbos. The other one's talking about where you did this on Shabbos. Miboidyoim, if you stretch your hand out erev Shabbos, and now all of a sudden the sun set, so you stretch your hand out erev Shabbos from rishus Sayochid to a Rishus Arabim, it was the Matame Asar Tvachim, and all of a sudden the sun sets. So over there, like Kansur Rabbanan, Rabbanan said that you can bring your hand back in. Why? Because you did it Erev Shabbos, so when you did it, you didn't do anything wrong. It just so happens you're stuck there right now. So being that you never did anything wrong, you weren't over any Issid Rabbanan, because you did it Erev Shabbos. So there's no reason for there to be an issue. Meshech HaShecha Kansur Rabbanan. If you did it, however, after it was already Shabbos, over there, maybe the Rabbanon went ahead and issued the knas. Right? Seems reasonable that if I did it beheter, so why would the Rabbanon issue a knas? If I did it beisser, then it says the Gemara, maybe that's the case where there's a knas. But the Gemara says, adarabba, I think ipcha mistabra, it actually makes sense, punkt fakert. How so? Mibaygioi. If you did it Erev Shabbos. So again, just play it out for a second. So you stretched your hand out, you picked something up in Rosh Hashayachid, you stretch your hand out the window, and now all of a sudden somebody came running to you and he started screaming, Shabbos, that's it, you're done. You're stuck, your hand is stuck. You can't. So if you stretch it out Erev Shabbos, you can bring it back in. If you stretch it out on Shabbos, then it's a problem, right? Makes sense. If I did it on Shabbos, I was even in the Siddur Rabbanan. If I did it Erev Shabbos, I wasn't over anything. But the Gemara says, I can argue in Svara just the opposite. We'll speak of that outside first. A very gishmak is Svara. Isn't it possible that this person may by mistake drop the chayfetz that he's holding? I mean, it's not going to be so simple to dangle this chayfetz. I don't know what it is. But regardless, your hand's going to get tired at some point. And it's very possible you're going to drop it. What happens if you drop it? You're going to be over itself. But really, it depends. Because if you picked it up Erev Shabbos, even if you drop it, you would only be over in Issur Rabbanan, the Issur Hanacha. If you did it on Shabbos, then you're going to be over the Issur Deiraisa. So, Frank the Gemara, I think it's far, it should be just the opposite. In the event that you did it Erev Shabbos, so make the guy stand there. Let him dangle his whatever. What are you worried about? That maybe he's going to drop it? Nothing's going to happen. If you did it on Shabbos, then bail him out. Because you're going to force him to stand in such a compromised position, he may end up dropping it. Says the Gemara, Ipcha Mestabrim, Beboy Gaim, Dishadu Leile Yosu Dechiv Chattas, in the event that you took it out Erev Shabbos, where there's no chashash that'll come with Dechiv Chattas, like the Sur Rabbanon. It makes sense that the Rabbanon should issue a knas. Meshech HaShech, the case where you picked it up on Shabbos, Dishadu Leile Yosu Dechiv Chattas, where if you drop it by mistake, you're going to be Chayef. Chattas, Loi like the Sur Rabbanon. It makes sense that over there you shouldn't cancel him. Meaning we should bail him out, says the Gemara. Being that the Gemara didn't entertain such a svara, you know what it sounds like from here? We don't bail people out. That if you do something wrong, it's fine. We're not going to try to help you, says the Gemara. If that's the case, Tivshe de Rabbi Barabbaye, should we push them to Rabbi Barabbaye ass? Tivshe de Rabbi Barabbaye, Hidduk Bas Betano, and this is going to be the topic of the first part of tomorrow's daf. A classic Gemara, an absolute classic Gemara. But for now, the Gemara just mentions it very, very briefly. What happens if somebody took bread and he attached it to one of the walls of an oven? So the olden days, the way ovens worked was people would take bread, they would attach it to the wall. The oven got very, very hot. You would attach the bread to the wall of the oven. So this person attached bread to the wall of the oven, and now he's about to be over some sort of malach on Shabbos. What exactly the malach is, we'll see that in tomorrow's daf. So what happens if this person realizes that he's about to be over the malach of oifa? He's about to be over the malach of oifa. He wants to quickly remove the bread from the oven before it bakes the shear that he's going to be over the malach of oifa. And Rabbi wasn't sure if it's okay for the person to do it or not. Now, what's the background? The background is that removing bread from the wall of the oven is an issa derabbanan. It's called radias apas. We'll see more about this tomorrow. It's a malach derabbanan. And Rabbi wanted to know, could a person be over an issa derabbanan, a nice shayla, so that he won't come lide issa deraisa? If I leave it there, I'm going to be over nissa deraisa. I'm going to end up baking. It's going to bake the shear. If I remove it before it bakes the shear, I'll be over nissa, but only nissa derabbanan. Can I do a small avera to prevent a bigger avera from taking place? That was his shiloh. Says the Gemara, I think from this shaklavatari, your tifshat olayatiru, we could be poshet that we were a matter. Because what would be the svara to be matter? Bail him out. You see, from our Gemara, we don't bail people out. That if a person did an akira on Shabbos, his hand is dangling out a window, we're going to make him keep it there. What do you mean? The person's going to end up doing an issa deraisa. I don't care. You did an issa derabbanan. We're going to cancel you right now. If you end up doing an issa deraisa, deal with it. You'll do tshuva and you'll bring a karban chatas, whatever, and you'll have to deal with it. So you see from the Gemara's understanding of how it wanted to answer the stira, l'chura, a little insight as to what the resolution may be to Rabbi Bar Abaye Shaila. So the Gemara says, okay, why are you getting so excited? If you feel that this teretz to the stira is a pshitus to Rabbi Bar Abaye Shaila, then so be it. Either way, the Gemara is moving along with additional teruts. Again, we have a stira. One price says that if somebody picks something up in a Rishos HaYochid, he sticks his hand into a Rishos HaRabim, you have to keep your hand there for the rest of Shabbos. Other price says, no, you can bring it back in. So trying to figure out what the teretz to the steer is. Says the Gemara, maybe loilam loitif shayt. Really has nothing to do with Rabbi Bar Abaye, but like Hasho. So what's the teretz? Kam b'shoigig, kam b'meizet b'shoigig. If the person did this b'shoigig, like on Sura Rabbah. Over there, so you lifted a b'shoigig, and by b'shoigig, you picked it up b'meizet, you b'shoigig, stuck your hand outside to the Rishos HaRabim. Over there, there's no reason to cancel. B'meizet, on Sura Rabbah. If you did it b'meizet, over there, we're going to give you a knas. Maybe both cases, talk about where you did a b'shoigig. Between the two brises is a shas machloikis. Do we cancel someone that does something b'shoigig otu because he may do it b'mezid, or are we not koine shoigig otu mezid? Marisov the brise that says that you have to leave your hand out kansu shoigig otu mezid, even though you did a b'shoigig. So why are we giving a knas for a shoigig otu mezid? Marisov like kansu shoigig otu mezid. And the man says no, we weren't koine shoigig otu mezid. We buy a same loydom like kansu. You can say maybe everybody holds you're not koine shoigig otu mezid, but like kasha kan lo isa chotza kan lo chotza acheres. Maybe the difference between the two brises is in one case, you stuck your hand out, you want to bring it back into the same chatzar that you were in. That maybe is okay. But if you want to move it to another chatzar, that's not okay. Because Rav wants to ask Rav Nachman, if a person's hand had peiros inside of it, and you took it outside, can I bring my hand back in? This shiloh. And Rav Nachman told Rav, first he asked him, if it's in the same chatzar, is it okay? And he told the mutter. Then he said, the chatzar acheres, what's that lach if I want to put in another chatzar? Amalei yasa. He said, it's asa. Umayishna. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, what's the difference? Rav Nachman told him, l'chi techel ala kura de milcha. So Rashi has two pshat on what it means. And one pshat Rashi says, when you measure for me, a kor is worth of melech. Meaning, if you work for me, or if you pay me, I'll tell you. Okay? But regardless, he told him, hasam lo yisavida machshavtoi, hacha yisavida machshavtoi. This is all on a derabbanan level. This is all on a knas level. If somebody takes something from a Rishos HaYochid and he sticks his hand into a Rishos HaRabim, presumably he wants to remove this object from the Rishos HaYochid. So now he's going to go and put it into another chatzar. So there it's not okay because isavida machshavta, you're allowing him to fulfill what his original intention was. What was his intention? You'll say to put it in a Rishos HaRabim. Okay, that aspect of it, you're not allowing him to fulfill. But it seems like part of his intention was to take it out of the Rishos HaYochid. Or to add to the Rishos HaYochid or the Chatzar that it was in. By allowing him to put it into a Chatzar Acheres, on some level, you're allowing him to do what he wanted to do. That's not something that we're so happy with. So if you want to bring it back into the Chatzar that you took it from, so you didn't really accomplish anything, that will allow you to do it. But if by us allowing you to put it into a Chatzar Acheres is somehow fulfilling what your original intention was, that's where it's going to be an issue. So again, just to recap the last part of the daf. Again, the Shaila was Rav Abaye Shaila. Abaye wanted to know if somebody's standing in a Rishos HaYochid and he stretches his hand into a Rishos HaRabim. seems to be over in the Sidur Rabbanan. The question is, does he have to keep his hand there or could he bring his hand back in? What's the tzad? Why shouldn't he be able to bring his hand back in? So Abaye said, because really his hand is in no man's land from a halachic standpoint. I know from the Mishnah that it's not in the same rishos that his body's in. I also know that it's not in the opposite rishos. It's in what's known as a makom ptur. And we know the Rabbanan when the chadish within the world of makom ptur is something called a karmelis. And sometimes it's awesome the Rabbanah to carry. Maybe Yodai Shalom is Karmelis, and it shouldn't be okay to bring your hand back in. The Gemara said, at first glance, it would seem to be a stira between two brises. And Faker, maybe the beer in the stira between the two brises is one brise I held like one side in Abaye Sofik, and the other brise I held in the other side of the Sofik. But the Gemara said, I hear maybe, but it's not Muchach, because there's five other ways that you can reconcile this theory. In other words, six in total. What are the six in total? The first was Abaye Shaila. Maybe the Shaila is, do we look at it as a Karmelis? Do we not look at it as a Karmelis? The other tzad was that maybe the case, we always look at it as a Karmelis. One was talking about where you stretch it, l'mata me'asar t'vachim, so you take a stretch your hand into Rosh Hashanah. The price that says you're allowed to stretch your back, you're allowed to bring your hand back in, is talking about where it was l'mayla me'asar t'vachim. Another suggestion the Gemara had was maybe the price that says you're allowed to bring your head back in is when you never did anything wrong. You stretched it out mi'boy yoy. You stretched it out before Shabbos. The Bryce says you're not allowed to stretch your hand back in. It's talking about what you did in Mishaycha Sheikha. Maybe one Bryce is talking about you did it with Shoigig, the other Bryce did it with Mazin. Beshoigig, we're not going to give a Knas. The Mazin will give a Knas. Maybe both Bryce are talking about where it's Beshoigig. Machloikis is the Shas Machloikis. Do we cancel Shoigig out to Mazin? Or why cancel Shoigig out to Mazin? And finally, maybe the difference is one Bryce was talking about you want to bring it into the same Chatzar, the other Bryce was talking about you want to bring it to Chatzar Acheres, which in fact is something Rav Nachman once told Rava after he paid him, but it's something that Rav Nachman once told Rava that it could be that would make a difference. Exhale. So just one ha'ara as it relates to the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, and that is as follows. So we mentioned that the Masechta begins with the Malach of Eitzah, and really the Malach of Eitzah is the topic of the first 7.5 dafin of the Masechta. So really the first week of Masechta Shabbos is going to feel very much the way the first two dafin felt. Like we said, it gets lighter, there's a lot of agadata, halacha l'maaseh, shouldn't be afraid from the first week, but this is the sort of the first sugya of the Masechta. Now the Mishnah and daf ayin gimel amin aleph mentions all the avos malachos. Avos malachos arba'im chaser achas. The lametes malachos. Hazeireya, v'achayrish, v'akoytz, v'amamash, v'adosh. V'azor ha'boir ha'toich merach, v'alosh v'oif. Ha'goyz tzatzen ma'malab na'menach tzvoy. The Mishnah goes through all lametes malachos. The 39th malach is ha'moitzi mirshus l'rshus, ha're'elu avos malachos arba'im chaser achas. Ha'tzah is malacha 39 l'misparenu. So if you count the lametes malachos, malacha number one is Zaireya. Malacha 39 is the Malacha Vaitzah. Frey Toisvis, I don't understand. We're working backwards. L'chura, if the Malacha Vaitzah is the 39th Malacha, why does Masechta Shabbos start with the 39th Malacha? If anything, it should start with the first Malacha. Says Toisvis, the Pshat's like this. Really, the Masechta didn't want to start not with the first Malacha, not with the 39th Malacha. You know how the Masechta wanted to start? It wanted to start with Erev Shabbos. If you're going to sit down and you're going to go in an orderly fashion, systematically, explain the laws of Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't start Friday night. Misha Tarach be'Erev Shabbos. Yoichel be'Shabbos. You have to start preparing for Shabbos before Shabbos. So when does Shabbos start? It starts already. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. That's it. If you open up a Shulchan Aruch and you learn Hilcha Shabbos, it starts with the halachas of Erev Shabbos. So really, says Tosfos, the Maseches was going to start not with the first malacha, not with the 39th malacha. It was going to start with the halachas of Erev Shabbos. And in fact, Tosfos says there's precedence for that. He says, I'll give you two rayas for this concept. Number one, Masechtas Pesachim. How does Masechtas Pesachim start? Or la'arba, also boikin ha'chametz. See, you have a whole Masechta that deals with the halachas of Pesach, and you don't start with the chametz, you don't start with the matzahs, you don't start with the maror, you don't get to the seder until Arvei Pesachim. You have to learn 100 blad until you get to the real zaftig sugyas that deal with all the halachas of Arvei. How does it start? Or Larbos, it starts Erev Pesach, starts the night before Pesach. We pedik chametz, that's what we do. Why? Because that's the seder. He says another Masechta, Masechta's Yuma. Masechtas Yuma deals with Yom Kippur. Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom Kippur Mafrishin Koin Gadol Mipesay Lelishkas Padhajer. Right? What do you do? You start training the Koin Gadol. You start grooming him. It's like this. He'll be ready to do the avoider that he's going to have to do on Yom Kippur. You don't start with Yom Kippur. You don't start by Ne'ilah. You start with Yom Kippur. So it says, or 7 days before Yom Kippur. So it says Tosfos that really our Masechta was going to start the same way. Our Masechta was going to start with the halachas of Erev Shabbos. And you know which particular halacha the Masechta was going to start? It was going to start with a Mishnah later in the Perek. Tav Yud Aleph Amar Aleph. Lo Yetzei HaChayit B'machtoi Samach L'Chashecha. A chayit, a tailor, is not allowed to walk outside Erev Shabbos. Samach L'Chashecha. Erev Shabbos holding his machat. Why Shema Yishkach? Because we're afraid that he's going to forget that he's carrying it. He's going to end up carrying on Shabbos. So we wanted to start with this malacha, with this halacha that a chayit's not allowed to go outside carrying on Erev Shabbos. But what's the reason that the chayit's not allowed to go outside carrying this object on Erev Shabbos? Because he may carry on Shabbos. He may carry on Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry. So Tosfos says, I have to tell you, the Mishnah felt that there's something called Eitzah. So the reason we're starting with Eitzah is not because we're going, you know, counterclockwise. And we're starting with the 39th malacha. We're going to work our way backwards and go through all the Lamentas malachas. The reason we're starting with Haitzah is not because we want to explain the halachas of Haitzah. By the way, the Gemara is going to get into sugyas of Haitzah much later in the Masechta. You're going to have daf after daf after daf dealing again with halachas of Haitzah. So why are we talking about Haitzah right now? Because we wanted to say that Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph. That was supposed to be the first. Really, it wasn't supposed to be Yetzias HaShabbos. Shabbos Daf Beis was going to start. Lo Yei, we would be talking about tailors, not about an Oni and a Baal HaBayis. That's really the way it was supposed to start, says Tosfos. Lo Yei Tzei Achayit B'machto Yisavet HaChashecha. Nor Vos, it's predicated on the malacha of Haitzah. You have to know Haitzah. If you have to know Haitzah, that's why it said this. But Frey Tosfos, it's still not a satisfactory answer. And the reason is because that same Mishnah, really, and the Mishnah is later that on a gay Erev Shabbos, there's a lot of things you're allowed to do, you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, some of which have nothing to do with Haitzah. So for example, you're not allowed to take wool and put it into a vat that's going to whiten the wool on Erev Shabbos because it's going to be working on Shabbos. So why shouldn't you have to tell me now that Allah is a malabe? Who said that that's a problem? I mean, there's other things that you're not allowed to do Erev Shabbos because of a melacha that's going to be done on Shabbos that's related to other melachas, not related to Eitzah. So again, Haja Kushu L'duchte, why are we explaining the laws of Eitzah, not the halachas of Malabim? And this is where Tosfos says the immortal words. He says, because Eitzah is different than every other melacha. You know why Eitzah is different than every other melacha? Because Eitzah is a melacha geruah. It's an inferior melacha. It's true, it made it to the top 39, but it just barely made the cut. Maybe that's why it's number 39. It's a melacha gerua, and because it's a melacha gerua, you could have had a havamina. Ben benoy shel havamina, maybe it's not really a melacha. So, why? What's the big deal? It was important to first address the melacha v'etzah. Because that malacha is a malab, everyone knows malab is a malacha. A behoitzah, says Tosfos, is a malacha geruah. And because it's a malacha geruah, so people are not so familiar with it, it's a psashvacha malacha. If I'm going to tell you that malacha, leyetzah achai b'machta, you need 7.5 blood of akira and anocha. Now you can learn leyetzah achai b'machta. But without that, you can't go to the halacha of leyetzah achai b'machta, even though it seems like a simple, innocent halacha. Because it's predicated on itzah. Itzah is a malacha geruah, no one's really too familiar with it, because it really doesn't make sense because it's an inferior malacha. I mean that it's an inferior malacha, it's for that reason. Now, Tosfos doesn't explain why exactly Haitzah is a malacha geruah. But Tosfos says that I'm going to explain it later. This is the first Tosfos in the Masechta that we just spoke at. But Tosfos says, Kamei Shafar, so I'm going to explain it. Where does he explain it? It's a few Tosfos in later. Dibra Masko Pasha Balabai says Yodei. Over there, Tosfos asks a different kasha. The Gemara, later in the Masechta, in Perek HaZoyrek, Dav Tzadik Vav Amid Beis discusses what the makar is to the malacha of Haitzah. The Gemara says, how do you know that Haitzah is a problem? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kro. It's learned there from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kol B'Menachana. Moshe Rabbeinu made a ramkol. What was the ramkol? Ishvi Isha Al Yasu Oid Malacha L'Tshumas HaKodesh, Vayikolei Ha'am Mehavi. Now, this is an announcement that I don't think was ever made again. There was a big campaign, the Yikuli Truma, that we're raising money now for the Malachas HaMishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu said it got to the point where they couldn't anymore. There was just too much money coming in. So he made an announcement. Vayitzav, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru kol b'machin aleimor, ish v'isha, man, a woman, al yasu oin melocha l'chumas ha-kodesh. You can't, we're not accepting donations anymore. And the Olam stopped bringing donations. So again, Pashup Shad is, they didn't need the money anymore. So if they didn't need it, so that's it. We reached our goal. The campaign has officially ended. There's maybe an extra hour afterwards, but Pashtus, it's all over, right? That's Pashup Shad in the Pasuk. Pasuk Rabbi Yochanan, that really there's something else going on over here. There's a drush over here that's very, very important. This happened on Shabbos Kodesh. And really, even though the Pashup Shad, of course, is related to the fact that they weren't raising money anymore, but there was something else going on? You know what the koil was? Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's Shabbos. So Ish v'Yishal Yasu Oid Melacha L'Tshubas HaKodesh. Vayikol Yamav, you're not allowed to bring anything anymore. You know why? Because you live in Rosh Hashanah. And if you're going to take something out of your house, you're going to bring it to me. I'm a Machne Leviya. You're going to end up carrying it to Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to carry it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So even though the Poshup Shad is Moshe Rabbeinu's Ram Koil is related to we don't need the money anymore, but there's an Oymek over here. The Oymek is that you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. Freita is Akasha. I don't understand. You need a pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan brought a makar to the Malach of Eitzah. What do you need a pasuk for the Malach of Eitzah for? Do you have a makar? Do you have a pasuk for the Malach of Kosev? You have a pasuk for the malacha of Makkah Patish, for Oireg, for Oifa. You don't have a makar for all the Lamatas malachas. How do you know the Lamatas malachas? Because the mitzvah of Shabbos is juxtaposed with the halachas of the Mishkan. These are the parashas that we're learning now. You have it in Parashas Kisisa, at Devachah Geparsha. You have it in Parashas Vayakel. Lo manismecha, to teach me that whatever was considered a malach in the Mishkan is considered a malach in the Shabbos. So we learned the Lamites malach is dumi the malach of Mishkan. So Frank Tois says, what do I need a pasuk for? Says Tois, you know why I need a pasuk? Because Haitzah is a malach of Geruah. And I would never learn Haitzah from dumi the malach of Mishkan. I needed a pasuk to teach me the malach of Haitzah, because without a pasuk, I would look at Haitzah as being a malach of Geruah. And here Tois explains why it's a malach of Geruah. Why is it a malacha gruah? Because ordinarily, when you do a malacha, you're doing something. You're creating something. I cooked something. I planted something. I plowed. Makkah b'patish. I knocked a screw into the wall. I did so. I was boina. I was soiser. You did something. When you move an object from point A to point B, you didn't do anything. What did you do? You physically altered the state of the object. Nothing happened to the object. So being that nothing happened to the object, there was nothing done. If there was nothing done, it's for that reason, it's considered a malacha gerua. And Tosfos says, Varai, if I would move something from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, it wouldn't be a problem. So what's the difference if I move it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? At the end of the day, I didn't do anything. That's why Haitzah goes down as a malacha gerua. Either way, says Tosfos, that's the teretz to my kasha. Why did the Mishnah start? Why did the Masechta start with the malacha of Haitzah? L'chura, if anything, it should have started with the first malacha. Says Tosfos, we're not starting with the first malacha, we're not starting with the last malacha. We're starting with Erev Shabbos the same way you Mem Psachim start. Erev Shabbos, lo yetze achayit b'machtoy, you have to know Haitzah first. Because if you don't know Haitzah, the chayit's never going to take you seriously. Because he's going to think, what's Haitzah? It doesn't make any sense. And Tosfos says, he's right, the chayit a little bit. It doesn't make so much sense. And that's why he goes down in halacha as a malacha gerua. But at the same time, it is a malacha, and that's why we start the Masechta with Yetzias HaShabbos. But there's another pshat that I think is worth mentioning. And that's from the Kozhe Glover Goyen, Hashem Yimkam Dami Reb Arya Tzvi from it. But for this, we need a tiny bit, I know it's late, but a tiny bit of an introduction. And that is, we know that in order for a ger to be Megayer, he has to do Mila and Tfila. Really, it's a sugi Masechta Zivam Estach Mem Vav. In Perak HaCholetz Liyavim Toi, Vachloikis Reb Eliezer, Reb Yishu, and the Chachamim, we pass him like the Chachamim. That if a person wants to convert to Judaism, he needs Mila and he needs Tevila. Once upon a time, he had to bring the carbon. We don't have carbonus anymore. The Gemara says increases. That even though you would think, if you have no carbonus, maybe you can't be Megayer people. No, you can be Megayer people, even though we don't have any carbonus. Increases, Davches, Davches. But the point is that in order to be Megayer, you have to do Mila, you have to do Tevila. The Avnei Nezer in a Tshuva. It's in Yeridei, a Tshuva, Shin Nun Aleph said an unbelievable Chiddush. He said, that I hold, that a ger that was mol v'loy tova, even though he has a din of a goy l'chol davar, I think he's chayv in Shabbos. I hold he's chayv in Shabbos. Why? He said, because how do you know that geiris is mila and tefillah? We learn it from the Yoytzei Mitzrayim. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were makabel Torah, they were megayer. That was the original geiris. They went from being bnei noyach to now being Yidden. How did they become Yidden? They did mila when they left Mitzrayim, and then they did tefillah by Maimon Har Sinai. So there was mila and tefillah. And being that there was mila and tefillah, so you learn from there that every ger needs mila and tefillah. So every ger needs mila and tefillah. We learn from Klal Yisrael. When did the Yidden get the mitzvah of Shabbos? In Mara. The Gemara says there were three mitzvahs, Eser mitzvahs, Nitzavu b'Mara. The Sheva mitzvahs bnei noyach plus another three. One of those three was Shabbos. Mara was before Maimon Har Sinai. It was after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was before Maimon Har Sinai. When the Yidden got Shabbos by Mara, they were in a state of mol v'loy tava. And still they had the mitzvah of Shabbos. So it says the Avnei Nezif, the makar that Mila and Tefillah, both Ma'akev and Geiris, is from the Yoytze Mitzrayim. So doin mino mino. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, before they did the Tefillah, they already got Shabbos. So l'chore, every single guy that was Movel Oitova is going to be Chayiv and Shabbos. And really there's two chedushim in this Avnei Nezif. Why two? Number one, that the guy is Chayiv and Shabbos. Number two, that he's a latitude Shabbos. Because the guy is Shabbos is really Chayiv Misa. So regardless, the Avnei Nezif said a phenomenal Chiddush. This was the Chiddush Avnei Nes. Now the truth is, this idea, whether or not a ger, that's Movel Oitova, could he keep Shabbos or not? Kiyodua was the subject of a tremendous debate in the 19th century. It was a Maisa Shahoya Kachaya, there was an Eni Yehudi that was in the process of completing his Geiris. He had done Mila, but what happened was the wound of the Mila didn't heal yet. And as a result, he couldn't do the Tefillah yet. They had to wait for the wound to heal. And then it came Shabbos. And there was a big shaila what to do with this Yid. Because, or not Yid. He was a Ger, Shabbal, V'loy Tavel. Does he keep Shabbos? Does he not keep Shabbos? Now, this happened when Rav Shmuel Misalant, he was the Rav HaRoshi. He was the Rav HaRoshi for, I think 70 years in Yerushalayim. But at the time he was in Russia. He was dealing with some askonos for the Toshvei Yerushalayim. And he was in Yerushalayim at the time. And there was a Rav that was like an interim Rav. He was sitting in and he had a paskin, the shayla. He didn't know what to do. And he felt that he's not a Gid. Because we paskin, you need Mila and Tefillah. But what should he do? He should go be Mechal Shabbos. He's like in the process of a Geiris. So he said that what he should do is he should write the word Achtos. That was his psak. He should write the word Achtos. Maisa Shahoya Kachay, Shmuel Misalant heard about this afterwards, that someone in his Ke'ila, Paskin, and he wrote a tshuva, and it was a major tumult. There was a tshuva written by the Binyan Tzion from the Baal Orach Laner, and this was Marishai Lomois in Europe in the 19th century. What to do with this Ger Shabbat Leitava? Now, Shmuel Misalant wasn't coming from Dabni Neza. He was coming more because he felt that Mila, even though it doesn't complete the Geiris, because you also have to do Tefillah, but it's a Mikzas Geiris. I mean, it's a Mikzas Geiris, maybe that's enough for to say that he's not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The problem is he's also not allowed to keep Shabbos. That was the predicament. But either way, that's not for us today. Regardless, this was the Avnei Nezif's Chiddush. The Avnei Nezif's Chiddush was that a Ger Shemov Leitovas Chayev in Shabbos. He's allowed to keep Shabbos, Chiddush number one. Number two, he has to keep Shabbos. Why? Because how do we know Mila and Tefillah from the Yoytze Mitzrayim? The Yoytze Mitzrayim themselves were Chayev in Shabbos. They were Netzavah B'Shabbos Zemara. Before Tefillah, after Mila. And that's how we know every Ger Shemov Leitovas. The Kozhuk Lover Goyen, Hashem Yimkom Domi, was a Talmud Muvik of the Avnei Nezer. And in Eretz Tzvi, Chelek Aleph, Simen Mem Aleph, he writes a Micht of the Kvoy Kedushas Rabbeinu Agoyen HaKadosh Admer Moron Shlita Misochachov. The Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer. And the first half of the tshuva, he discusses what the main purpose of his tshuva was. And then he writes as follows. He says, Esmo lamadati b'medrash rabbo b'parshas ha-shavua. So you do it, that in Poland, there were chaburis that used to learn medrash rabbo every Shabbos. So Esmo, he says, lamadati b'medrash rabbo b'parshas ha-shavua. And the medrash says as follows, quote, Goy sheshomer es ha-shabbos, actually kibol all of us amilo chayim miso. The Medrash is saying the halacha that the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Gemara that everybody knows, that a guy that keeps Shabbos is Chayav Misa. But listen to the lashon of the Medrash. Ger sheshomer es haShabbos, actually keep all of us amila Chayav Misa. So freak the kosher of a guy and actually keep all of us amila. Why Mila? You need Mila and Tfilo. You need Geiris. So the Kozhuk Lover Goyen said, Nira Mizeh Kamosha Kosafta Babni Nezer Yerdeh Chelik Beis. I hold this as a Raya Nifla to the Rebbe's Yechidish. That a Ger, once he does Mila, even though he didn't do Tfilo yet, he's already Chayv and Shabbos, because it is Cheshman Amara. But it's Mefurish in the Medrash. Goyshe Shomer as a Shabbos, Adshaloi Kiba Lolo as a Mila. So he told the Rebbe in the middle of his Tshuva, he said, Derech Agav, yesterday I found a Makor Nemon to what the Rebbe wrote in Tshuvas Avni Nezer, Simon Shinno. And then the Kozhuk Lover Goyen said, and here's the punchline, and this is what we're going to end with. We said, "Ubahayin yano yashafti kushyas toisvis reishavis." I think with this yisoid of the Rebbe, we can answer toisvis first kasha. Talk about off and art. Toisvis first kasha in Masechta Shabbos. Toisvis asks a kasha that he doesn't understand why the Masechta starts with Yitzias Hashabbos. It's the 39th malacha. Why we started with the 39th malacha? We should start with the first malacha. And Taisa struggles. He says a few terutzim. We spoke out one, Malacha Guru. But that's Taisa's kasha. Says the Kasha Glover Goyen. I think I have a teretz. But for this, you have to know one more Taisa's. And that is, the Gemara says later in the Masechta, that even though the Yidden got Shabbos in Mara, but they didn't get the mitzvah of Tchumen. Tchumen, Tchum Shabbos, that they didn't have in Mara. That they didn't get after, till after Matan Torah. They didn't get Tchum. It says Toisvis, if they didn't get Tchumen, they didn't get Hoitzah either. Toisvis has a cheshbon. That the Yidden did not get Hoitzah when they were Mara. So says the Kosher Gavur Goyin, if that's the case, it comes out of Dovin Noira. When the Yidden were in Mara, they were in this quasi-state of Kedusha. They were Mol V'loy Tava, they were given the mitzvah of Shabbos. And they got 38 malachas. There was one malacha they didn't get. They didn't get the malacha of Eitzah. When did they get the malacha of Eitzah? After they had tefillah. After they weren't Mol V'loy Tava, they weren't quasi-Yidden. They were Yidden Gemurim. They were Kedushim. That's when they got the mitzvah of Eitzah. Said the Kazakh of Gagan, what does that mean? What does that say about Eitzah? That means the malach of Eitzah is more Kaddish than all the other malachas. Because for the other malachas, you're chayiv even if you're a mal v'loy tava. Goyish HaShavas is chayiv misa. If you're a mal v'loy tava, you can be chayiv. But in 38, Eitzah, no. Then even a mal v'loy tava is not chayiv. For that, you have to be a Kaddish. If that's the case, it's pashut. The Mishnah says in Masech Tezvachim, kol ha-mekudish mechaveiroi is koidah mechaveiroi. So you want to know why the Masech started with the malach of Eitzah? Because Eitzah is more Kaddish than all the other malachas. Well, how do you know it's more Kaddish? Because by Tzah, you have to be a Mal V'tava. For the other 38 malachas, even a Mal V'loitava is going to be Chayiv. Says the Kosher Gavur, that also explains why it's the 39th malacha. Why is it number 39? Because chronologically, that's how it happened. They got 38 of Mara, and then they got the 39th malacha after Maimon Har Sinai. But as it relates to the Mishnah, you want to know why we started Masechet Shabbos with Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba. Because with all the Kedusha Shabbos, the rest of Kedusha in Shabbos, is Yitzias HaShabbos. Now we have to figure out why. That will be the rest of the story.